This is the Reading Aloud Podcast.
I'm Marisol Collette.
And I'm Adam Collette.
And you love us because we love you.
We sure do. And let's get to today's conversation.
All right, before we get started, I want to say what?
Well, I was like in my head right before we hit record, I was like, okay, I'm going to start. And then I like...
opened your mouth to breathe.
Yeah, and you were like, all right, before we get... So, go.
Well, before we get... Well, let me just say it then. The before we get started is that, you know, I was going to say this as a rule, but there are no rules. And of course, bodily autonomy and choice. So I'll say it about me. The bigger my body is, the smaller my bathing suit is. And I think it's a really good thing. And I was thinking about this because we did
that. The bigger the body, the less material I want on it.
Yeah. And I was thinking about it like with, well, for one, you know, people want to hide their bodies if it feels bigger because that's not socially acceptable unless they're in acceptance of it, which is awesome.
Yeah.
But the other reason is that, and then they think they're hiding, but like bathing suits aren't real clothes. They're just not much
underwear
to begin with. Right. And we did that, love video where we're jumping off the, diving board. And I'm wearing like a high waisted bikini bottom and, you know, I got it cause I thought it was cute, but It didn't look as good as my teeny tiny itsy bitsy, not yellow polka dot bikini. And I just am like, yeah, what is it? It's just, you just got to go for it. And it just looks better. It just looks better. So that's my hot tip is what I'm going to say.
Well, I love that. I don't know, like, if I can relate. The way that I can relate to that is around hats. Mm. And I sometimes feel like to wear a really eccentric hat, like flamboyant hat, you just have to go for it. You can't, like, the hats that don't look good are the people that, like, they're, like, trying to do something big, but, like, didn't have the guts to go all the way and then are, like, shy and wearing it. Like, if you're going to wear a cool, like, a fedora with a hat feather in it or something like that, or you're going to be a hat person, like,
stretch your stuff.
Yeah, rock it.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about confidence.
Everybody's on their journey towards confidence. Everybody's trying their best with bathing suits and hats, but I hear you.
I mean, your Instagram gives me lots of confidence. You always post amazing content on there.
Aww.
It's like kind of the last vestiges of why I actually still have an Instagram account. I have no interest in posting anymore.
Mm-hmm. But you like to get on there and see photos of yourself because I often post.
Yeah, I mean, I like to get on there and see. Well, I like to see what you post on stories. Mm-hmm. That's been lately, like, what I want to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, I had a friend. I was talking to her about just how this week has gone between you and I. And she was like, you know, it's always so difficult when two people are dealing with the same core issue, but they have such different ways of experiencing it. And the thing she said, because I knew that part, it's like hard because we're always going to be experiencing something different in the midst of it. She was like, and then they just never really say the right thing to each other. And that just made me stop being super pissed at you because I've been pretty disappointed this week.
Yeah, I can tell.
Well, you can tell, but I've also been very explicit.
Yes.
So you didn't have to infer anything.
Yeah, see, case in point.
Yeah,
I can tell was the wrong thing to say.
I mean, it's like we're going downhill fast, so let's pick it back up. We're gonna put on our big girl panties.
That's right.
We're gonna record a podcast.
So where to start with this? I mean, it always helps me to just start with the facts and kind of going forward. Does that feel okay to you?
Mm-hmm.
As we talked about last week, we did the transfer. I was sitting at my desk and working, and it's just been a crazy busy time. And I was in the middle of a meeting, and you peeked your head around the corner, top of the stairs, and I thought I saw you, but then I was, like, needing to, like, follow along with somebody, so I couldn't bend my head, but then I felt your head still peeking around, And then I was like, peek around. And I think I kind of knew immediately when I saw your face.
Hmm.
I think you just shook, because we knew we were going to find out that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you just shook your head. And I didn't quite know what you were saying. And I was like, kind of raised my eyebrows, kind of gave thumbs up, thumbs down to you. And you just like shook your head again and had this extremely sad look on your face. And I immediately felt some serious heartbreak, some serious sadness. It like rushed over me so quickly. I turned the camera off at my meeting, typed a little be right back in the meeting chat, and made sure I was on mute, and got up and went over to give you a hug and cried. And that was a surprise for me.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing that you said to me was, I'm okay. I'm okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was not okay in that moment. I was okay, but I was extremely sad. And it was, again, very surprising to me. I didn't expect to feel that way, but I felt it immediately.
How'd you expect to feel?
I just expected to feel, I didn't really know, but like I didn't expect to feel like immediate tears. Because the first time that this didn't work out, our last round of our last transfer, I remember every detail, and you called me extremely upset and you were not okay. And I was driving back with Neo, and I felt two things. I felt shock, and I immediately jumped to like this, okay, that's, you know, that's it. We're going to move on. Like, I felt okay immediately. Later on, I didn't, and I had some deep grief. But this time, I felt my, like, deep grief immediately.
Why do you think that is?
Well, this is something that, I mean, we talked about a little bit, but, like, I was talking about this with my therapist, and I think it's because this time I have been in a much healthier space processing it. I think my emotional self and my inner self was able to receive and embrace the grief immediately. Last time I just kind of was in shock and pushed it down and let my mind take over. And be like, okay, logical thought. Okay, this is what needs to happen. And I kicked into like take care of Marisol mode. You know, I kicked into like be there, be strong, ba ba ba, show up, you know?
Do you think that because I was more okay this time, you felt like you had space to, like you just said, I kicked in to take care of Marisol mode. And because I was so sad last time, just so confused and sad. And so then, you know, I was taking up that space, and I don't know, because I was calmer this time and said, I'm okay. Did you feel like that's why, or is it because of what you just said, which was that you're feeling more healthy?
I'm sure that if you came in and were like, just like devastated, crying, dry heaving, you know, like in a state, I would have showed up for you. So I think that you saying like, I'm okay, whatever, like that was probably a factor, but no, it was like, it was very deep and internal. I wasn't reading your reaction and having my reaction based off of that. No, it was like very real and raw. And you know, it was a gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
It was a real big gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
And it took me, you know, a day to recover from it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm processing it, of course, but like that initial thing, I was like kind of in a state of like just sadness for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense to me. I know that came as a little bit of a shock to you, because like you said, and we both went into it being very open to either path. And then when you told me, when you cried and cried and cried, you said, this is what lets me know that this was the right thing to do, that giving it another honest try was the right thing to do, because this sadness shows me how much I really did want this. And it was so nice to hear that because, you know, we did a second egg retrieval and we kind of pushed the matter.
Yep.
And we only got this one healthy embryo compatible with life. And so then we did it and then it didn't work. And so, you know, I had the question of like, wow, did we just try to take all of this into our hands and force the matter, and feeling a little bit sad and guilty for everybody involved, and putting my best friend through this again and all of it, especially because we had been sitting on indecision for a while. And I was like, this whole thing, just did we just go about this the wrong way? And when you said that, I felt so much peace, just that you were like, this was the right thing to do, because so clearly we were so clearly open-hearted to want this, and especially you. And I also had a friend when I was in the middle of all that indecision say, you have chosen, because we chose this. We chose this path and we were not going to change our minds.
That's right. That's right.
After spending a lot of time wondering. And she said, and I was like, what if this is just not the right thing? And that was way after I had said I wasn't going to go back and forth anymore. And she was like, this is the path you chose, the path that you chose to get to peace. And all of a sudden I was like, yes, this is the path to peace. This is not the path to for sure having another kid, for sure not having another kid. This is the path to peace.
That's really beautiful. You know, we often tie decisions, whether decisions were right or wrong, so much to results and not to feelings. And that's, I think, what I meant by that. Like, I was sad that this didn't work out. So that meant trying was the right decision. Like, if we hadn't tried, I would have left that on the table because of the fear of it not working out. But it would have been worse in the long run knowing that we hadn't tried.
It is really important because the question comes up for us, but also for so many other people. Oh, was that the wrong path? Was that the wrong thing to do? Was it wrong to use a gestational carrier? Was there something wrong about the decision? And you said it so brilliantly. And I just wish I had had, because we had a conversation. This is, of course, the conversation we had that day. And I just couldn't bring myself to put the recording on and
record. I had a thought about it, but we didn't. Yeah.
Okay. So you would have been open to it. I just needed to let you say what you were going to say, but you said something that, do you remember? You said it was like a list of, we did this way that, you know, do you remember what you said?
I mean, not verbatim, but I mean, I think.
You were in the heat of the moment being like, if anybody has any questions about what we did, how we did it, why we did it, you were kind of fierce. You were like, I'm not entertaining that at all. And here's why. And it was something to the effect, so maybe I'll jog your memory. It was something to the effect of, we went in with this with open hearts. That's actually how you ended it, with open minds. We made sound decisions every step of the way. We were on the same page. Everyone was a full yes. We prayed, we thought about this, it was intentional, everything. But the way you said it was just incredible. It described how one could feel okay in the midst of any type of disappointment and or tragedy. You did every single thing that you knew to do.
Well,
and
there
you still didn't get what you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, and I totally remember saying this. I mean, I think that for me, the disappointment of it not being, of the end result feeling sad or being disappointing, has no absolute, in this scenario, has no reflection on the decisions and the journey we chose to get to that point. Because it is a blessing to have a decision, it is a blessing to have an opportunity to be able to do that. And the impact that this journey, this 7-year journey, 7 years that we've been on this journey, has had on us is something that we would never be able to replicate had we not had the courage, the unity, the godliness, to be able to say yes to that without knowing for certain how it would end up.
Mm.
And how much gratitude can I have in that? And I can share that gratitude with my sadness and my disappointment that something that we wanted didn't manifest. There's enough space for that. There's enough space for that because we have approached this with open hearts and open minds and in good communication. With that deep, deep knowledge in me and understanding, it's not worth my time to entertain questions, especially from others, what if, of what if. Because I don't have any of those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that people that truly want to support me and love me in these moments don't ask what if questions.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, if I always love the sports analogies, I know, but like, if, you know, at one point Neo's playing basketball and he misses the game-winning shot, right? Could you imagine me going him being like, man, what if you made that?
Mm.
Should you have done this to make that shot?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no, that's a terrible way to comfort somebody.
Mm-hmm.
He just needs to be held and supported and said, you know, what an amazing opportunity you just had. You know, like, you were amazing.
Why
you
did great.
Because it's an emotional, you know, thing to have an opportunity to support somebody like that.
Mm.
To know that, like, we're doing our best.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, after you go through something and there is disappointment at the end of it, you have a deeper understanding of that nothing is really a failure.
Mm.
It pisses me off to think people could make it about that.
Mm-hmm.
And especially as something that is literally a matter of life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Not for me or you, but for another being.
Mm-hmm.
And for how our family is, that we have dealt with death of the idea of and the dream of what we wanted, what we tried to create for our family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this feeling, I went on a long run today and I was just, you know, trying to connect and just pray and connect with all those that we've lost over these past 7 years, those that we've lost on this, like, that have been super important to us.
Hmm.
And we've lost a lot. And I wouldn't change any of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't change the path. That's for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely still looking for retrospect. You know, this reading that I had, that somebody read the other day at this meeting I was at, they said, you know, I don't have to understand everything. Some things are none of my business and some things will just never make sense to me. And I felt so deeply last summer when we lost that first baby, that I was like, this doesn't make any sense. Everything was a yes. Everything was an easy yes. Everything was straightforward. We did this with full hearts and clarity, and we were sound mind, and the gift of my best friend being willing to do this for us, and just the so many gifts along the way. And now that we've done it again and it didn't work and we're done, we're closing the door. You're having your vasectomy in 2 weeks. It's a little bit of an abrupt ending, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
And it there is a, you know, a feeling of like, am I going to have a sense of the why of this? But there are some things that will just never make sense to me. The only thing I could think is that, you know, these babies weren't going to make it either way. That's almost totally known at this point that it wouldn't have mattered. If I had done it, she had done it, anybody else had done it, they weren't going to make it because of just their own little lives and vitality. But, you know, this did save me from having two miscarriages. And she said after the last one, she said she thought that it would be, she wondered what it would feel like in her body to have that miscarriage. And she said that the only thing she felt sad for was for us. Other than that, she didn't have a strong attachment to what was physically happening in her body. And that's when she made the decision and said, I would do this 100 times for you. And, you know, that did save me from that. That wouldn't have felt the same in my body. And so I'm so grateful for that, if those babies weren't going to make it regardless. But, you know, I still think it's interesting that all of this was so amazing, such a miracle. And of course, she and I are bonded forever. I mean, she's got her DNA inside of her body for the next, I don't know, there's like some number of decades that exists.
I mean, forget finishing each other's sentences, because y'all already did that.
I know.
I think about, like, okay, what have the gifts been? And what is the integration of this going forward? Because one of the ways that I want to continue to breathe life into this experience and this path that we have been on, because I'll tell you what I am fearful about is that we just kind of keep going through the motions. Is that we just keep, we don't grow and learn. And like this experience in 10 years just been like, yeah, that was a crazy time period, and now we're just here. And that will happen
what
naturally.
What else would you want it to look like?
Well, that is time passing, and that is life. I recognize that. But I also, like, here's an example. We have started referring to Yumi and Neo as, like,
Dream team,
you know, we're not settled on quite the name yet. Squad up, like, you know, what are we gonna say? But, like, you know, like, we've, like, that's a learning, that's an integration right there, is us saying, like, okay, dream team and pleat, you know. pleats the, you know,
the water boy.
Yeah, the water boy.
Not that water boys aren't very, very important.
Very important. You got to stay hydrated. Hydration is key. Yeah, I mean, that is an integration piece. The integration piece of the fact that this podcast has typically been about our fertility journey and how are we continuing those kind of conversations. Mm-hmm. The integration piece of us being able to make hard decisions and to both show up and coordinate on things. The integration piece of us being able to navigate grief and drawing from that. And I don't know it all, but what I don't want to do, I want to keep it present so that I can't, for as long as I can, so that those pieces are carried with.
So what I hear you saying is the two that stood out to me is, you know, really, you know, when people hear the podcast or anything else that we do with this information beyond this, there's no ending of like, and then, you know, it's not actually, and then we learned that blah, 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 blah. You know, along the way, we've learned a lot of things because we had to. But at the end of the day, what we learned is that there's some, that oftentimes you just have no idea, and that some things will never make sense.
That's
and
right.
How do you sit with that? And it's such one of those things that our minds just cannot hardly bend around.
That's right.
And the other thing I hear is that we really upped the value of our family of three. We went from like family of three, potentially family of more, to dream team, A team. You know, like, okay, we're it's like it's solidified.
We're in this together.
Team.
Yeah, we're a team.
Mm-hmm. So then this brings me back to what you asked on the couch earlier, when right before we started recording the podcast, and you said, "Are you okay?" And I just sat there. You've asked that a couple times. It actually upset me a couple times because I'm like, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" But this time I was like, "I don't think there's anything else I can tell you that I haven't already told you." And you were like, yeah, I shouldn't have asked that. But this is so complex because this is an unfolding. All the grief that I have is like breathing for the first time after 7 years. Efforting, holding, hoping, trying, paying, time, energy,
all of it,
dedication, emails, everything to get to this place. To this place, which is that our we have a family of three, you, me, Neo, and Pleat. We didn't know that that's where we were going to end. And so there was just this big unknown. And there's so many more unknowns, you know, beyond today, but with regard to that. And now it's finalized. And we feel, I feel basically like I have been, there's been a part of me that's just been not breathing. And now it's all kind of leaking out, and it's complex because there's been wanting and not wanting and trying and not trying and all of this stuff and this whole podcast being about this for the most part. And it just feels so like I don't have words for it. Last time my words were, I don't understand because this meant so much and I knew that baby and this was so important and supposed to be here and blah, 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 blah. This time I'm like, I don't know. But I'm sad. I have lots of tears in me.
Yeah.
But it's also just grief.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think about your mom and how sick she was for so long. And there was all this grief in that. But there was also this holding on to every time she got well and every time she got sick and every time she got well and this holding your breath. And then when she passed away, it was just like the unfolding of all of those years of having to be up and
layers
down
and layers and layers
of the grief that you were experiencing for all that time.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to say to you other than like, I don't have a lot of vitality and energy right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty distracted. My mind is kind of just scrambled eggs and I'm relieved. I'm relieved to know where we are.
Yeah. I think often asking that from a place of my own personal vulnerability, you know, I think like you're just usually such this like bright, talkative, interactive, like energetic person.
Wait, hold on. Pause real quick. So you're calling me positive.
Yeah, you're a positive person.
Optimistic. Joyous, bubbly, free.
Yeah, you're all those things.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, you also love to point out problems. But you do so, you don't
because
do so in a negative
prepared.
Way. You don't do so in a negative way, but you're just like, you know, we had a whole podcast on this. You walk in the room, you're like, the lamp's falling over. You
know? Well, because we had to get to solutions, folks.
That we could, yeah, go back a couple podcasts, we'd listen to it. But you're such that, and, you know, you've been a little, which I'm not saying this is a bad thing, but, you know, you've been a little removed.
You say, this comes up often when I'm quiet, you don't know what to do with me.
Right. And so what I'm saying is I'm asking that, I think, from a place of vulnerability because I don't want to, it's harder for me to show up authentically because I'm worried about coming across as either too positive or too negative or too up or too down. And, you know, I want to be attuned to you. And we've had a lot of issues in the past or like it has come up often of like, you're just so out of touch with where I am. And so it's like there's a nervousness in me to understand where you're at so that I can be attuned to that. And I don't know where you're at in those moments. And so, I mean, I know you're sad, but I don't know, like, are you upset with something I did? Are you just upset with the situation? Of course you're upset with the situation, but like, is there something else going on? If you're upset with the situation, is there something I can do about that? Is there something that you need?
Sounds like you need some codependency support.
Sounds
one
like
of the
it.
Other one of the other things, there's two things that were in that reading that I was talking about, is the other was like, I don't have to be responsible for somebody else's actions or reactions. And then there was another piece of it that was like, I don't always have to take responsibility for other people. For me, I applied that to what other people might think of this outcome and how they right. might try to place blame in certain places,
right?
You know, try to manage it or, you know, deny it or whatever it is, or, you know, All the things. You know, that's where I am, because I've been really afraid of, if this doesn't work, what are people going to think? I also was afraid if we decided not to do it, what would other people think?
Right.
I knew what people would think if we got pregnant. They'd be stoked. Yeah, be stoked.
Everybody'd be happy.
So the you know, and then I, you know, but even in that camp, I could think of, I remember one friend of mine being like, I'm really nervous about you being pregnant again. And I think she was talking about me physically, and that's not what we were doing. But, you know, raising an infant, things I was worried about too. So, you know, what would she have thought if we had gotten pregnant, right? But I don't have to deal with any of that. And I hear you, you know, this is different, babe. There are times for sure where I want you to be super duper attuned to me and super duper in touch with what's going on. This time I will say, I'm just working it through.
Okay.
And again, my chi is low. My vitality is low. And I'm aimless, and that's what I want to say. I'm aimless in a way, and it's, you know, I mean, think of it this way. Hours, days, emails, phone calls, schedules, medication, management, conversation, like all this stuff, my brain and my heart and my body being tense and full of this what if and all of that is all gone. There are no more emails to send. There's nothing else to pay for or do.
Or appointments to schedule, or
there's no more timelines check-ins to track. With my best friend. No more weekly check-ins. It just freed up so much flipping space. And I don't know, like,
how to fill it.
Yeah, or like what will fill it? I'm not trying to fill it. I'm just sitting in it. Being like, I don't know what to do. And I'm not all that great with having nothing to do. And I really, you know, I thought a lot about if we had a second kid. We talked about this like funny feeling of maybe I'll be a homemaker. And I'm not going to be a homemaker, because that's not what I want to do right now. And that doesn't fit Neo. He doesn't need me in that way. And I envision, you know, what am I going to do with that? I had this feeling towards slowing down into a more home-based situation, and I'm not going to do that. So then what? And the thing is that Neo's at this age where he's starting to be more independent and playing more on his own and getting things on his own and being able to communicate what he wants. And while we still need one of us to be around him most of the time, it's just not the same. So this week I've been sitting here being like, okay, well, I can throw another load of laundry in. You know, I've crocheted all the blankets. I actually watched one or two shows on my own. That's not stuff we've had time for.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate you sharing all that. And that space is critical. Where does that time get filled? And how does that fill you up?
You know, what's interesting is that we talked about if we weren't pregnant, that we would go and do your sabbatical versus using your sabbatical as an add-on to parental leave and go somewhere. And financially, it's obviously easier to do that with just one kid. And he's getting to the place where we can take him places. And I'm, you know, before we had Neo, I felt this huge spaciousness. You and I had done so much. We had had so much fun. And I just felt a shit ton of space. And I was like, this is where, if we are fortunate to have a kid, this is what's going in this space. And then we had a kid and that space got filled up and then some. And I was like, I've lost the majority of my quality time with my husband. I've lost myself. I don't have anything. I have zero. I have negative space. And now I feel like I have space again, which is kind of where a lot of people make the decision if they want to have a second or third kid. That's when they decide, is when they feel like they have something kind of settled.
Yep.
Right. You know, a lot of people do that.
Yep.
It's like we got settled in a routine and it opens up the room for more space. So we did that. So what this means to me is that he's going to get a lot of attention, but you and I are going to get a lot of attention, and we're going to get to return to some of the things we want to do, like traveling. And there's a part of me that's, it's a grass is always greener. I'm like, wow, it was just 3 years ago when he was born that I was lamenting hard the fact that we weren't going to have that. And would we ever get that back? Or would it be 18 years before we had that again? And then there's a part of me, I don't know what I just said, but like there's a part of me that's happy that it's happening.
That's a real feeling. Yeah.
And then there's a part of me that's doing this grass is greener thing. Like I wanted to fill that space with another baby.
Right.
It's too much space. In the same way it felt like too much space before Neo was born.
I think part of it in this first week of processing this is there's a lot. There's a lot to hold. There's a lot of different emotions. There's a lot of different, like, it's multifaceted. And I think it's okay and healthy to feel all of them. And that's what I've been really working on. Like, you know, one of the things that I worked through in therapy was just like, you know, there's a large part of me that's like, you know, I've been going back and forth with this narrative around like, you know, my heart and my body and my head being in my logical mind being so dominant, you know. My therapist is like, that's okay right now. Like, it's okay because I have this deep, you know, I have this version of myself that I'm supposed to feel this really deeply, that I'm supposed to like feel this certain way, that I'm supposed to do this. And I know that's in there and I know that that will come. And it's also okay to feel all of this different stuff. And that permission has been incredibly impactful on me this past week. I'm not saying that's what you need to feel. I'm just saying for myself, like it's been so helpful. And like, I don't feel like I've been able to cultivate permission like that for me in a long time. Mm-hmm. And so that's also another lesson of this process. Mm-hmm. That's such a powerful thing for me. Mm. I don't give myself permission hardly ever.
Back to the reading that I've been quoting, one of the things is I don't have to hide my feelings. If I'm okay, I can live openly in my joy. If I'm not, I can turn to my support and feel my deep, difficult feelings.
That's right.
And I just wholeheartedly feel very clear, like, that you being okay is not interrupting my being sad. When you cried, when you really grieved that first day, and I had relief from the perspective of, I just don't think I realized how painful not knowing was for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I felt was, now I know. And then I came to you and you were so sad. And I was like, oh, wow. He's in a very different place than me. And I had a similar experience of what do I need to do in this moment to show that I'm supportive and also know that I feel differently in this moment. And then it flipped the next day and you were sharing what you shared with me, just what you said just now. And I was like, yeah, because this sadness is just leaking out of me all the time, but I'm not, and maybe it is because we're both okay and just glad to know, but I'm not, even if I wasn't okay, it's okay for you to be okay. And I also, some of the challenges I've had, and I shared this with you already, but I've been wanting to make sure, and I think you understand now, but that me feeling like you were out of touch, because I felt like you were out of touch this week with me, was not because I wanted you to sit around despondent or not know what to do with yourself either. It's because there was just like, because of two things. There were logistical things that you didn't check in with. It was like you went in a completely different direction. And I'm like, you do realize we have people to tell, we have follow-up things to do. You know, there's stuff to finish out here and you haven't asked me one thing about it. And that was really hard. That was what was out of touch, was the logistics of it. And then the other piece that felt out of touch was just the way you asked the question, like, what's up with you? Those kinds of things. You know, it's just like, babe, what do you want me to say? First of all, I don't really know. Second of all, obviously, duh.
Yeah.
So, but not that you aren't feeling sad, just or as sad as or whatever. And I know you cried on your run today and you've been tearful just now. So, you know, it's just, I love you and I support you exactly where you're at.
Thanks. Thanks. Yeah.
One of the logistics was that I opened up my phone and saw that the Alabama ruling about embryos being alive and that now there's restrictions on what you can and can't do.
There's a lot of questions now of what's legal and what's not.
Exactly. Yeah. And I, before I even asked you, sent an email because I knew we weren't making the final decision, but sent an email to our clinic and I said we have our two genetically abnormal embryos that were frozen, and I was like, we've got to send those to research immediately.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
And I told her, I said, after Alabama ruling, this needs to be done sooner than later because we are not, you know, we have two genetically abnormal embryos and I'm just not interested in anybody telling me what we have to do with that. And so it's time. And that's plus right. We're done. We know that.
We're done.
So it, you know, there's no, we wouldn't, you know, this is a decision we're making anyways, but I sent it without even asking you. I was like, we got to go. We got to hit go on this.
Yeah.
Oh, babe. So intense.
Yeah. Well, thanks for talking through that, love.
So since we talk about sex on this podcast all the time.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you something. So yesterday evening, we tried to have sex and it was kind of like felt right in the moment. And then it just did not work out well. Both of us lost steam. One of the things that happened to me is I got really sad, you know,
and I did too.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
Just about everything.
Like it was a lot of, you know, I think it was, we're both still in our own grief and disappointment processes. And it's a lot of like, it was a, you know, I think sex after that can be a very connective, but it's also a very like loving emotional, and it was hard to like tap into that in that moment, you know? And so it was very sad and distracting.
I wonder if we're saying the same thing. It doesn't matter. I'm just curious when you say love and all of that is because of what I was talking about. Like there's just not a lot of energy and vitality and we're just sort of struggling, or was it because we had been frustrated with each other?
Both is what I'm talking about.
Got it. For me, I got sad about the baby because sex has been such a big part of the fertility journey. And it was just like, you know, like what is the purpose of sex? Pleasure and also procreation. And that's the procreation thing is ending. And it just caught me off guard. And then I was like, my girl boner was gone.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this is the thing that's never worked. This is the thing that's over for good. This is the thing that always was in the back of our mind. Maybe this time, even when we stop trying.
Yeah.
So much.
It's a lot. And I think that example last night was, you know, was a good reading of where we were at, and that, you know, we're still in it, and that's okay.
I tried so hard. I was like, this is just us having fun. And then somehow the light was in my eyes. My head fell off the bed. I'm like trying to like hold my head up. It's horrible. You were sweating, which we've talked a lot about.
Performance was off.
I hate that. We keep seeing those commercials. Most men want to perform better in bed. I just feel so sorry that that's the way it's framed for you all.
Thanks. Yeah. It's not talked about that much, but it is a enormous pressure for men and boys. Imagine being 15 years old and being delivered those messages when you're a nerd or you're a late bloomer or whatever. Mm-hmm. Imagine what that does to teenage boys' self-esteem. It's terrible.
Horrible.
Yeah. Rips it out of them. Or makes them very aggressive or bottled up because they don't, you know. Yep.
It's not a performance, babe. It's just as much an act of love and pleasure and desire and service as anybody else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that now.
Except on the days where you wear your three-ring leader hat. What am I saying?
I have no idea.
Well, who's the leader of the circus?
The ringmaster.
Until you're wearing your ringmaster hat. Then you're performing for me.
Got it. Okay. Okay. I was like, what is this sex toy you speak of?
This
outfit that I need to put on.
Don't be shy. You can tell people you have one.
No, I do not have a ringmaster outfit.
Am I your lion?
The greatest showman over here.
Am I the lion? Who would I be? The seal? No. Please. Tell me to bebop a ball on my nose. I've got greater things. I'm the lion.
You're the lion. Yeah.
Or the trapeze artist. No, they're just
background. No. Yeah, amazing, they're just background.
But they're amazing. They're just, but they're like, there's lots of them. They're all intended. I'm the lion.
Yeah.
Try to tame me.
Yeah.
Not going to happen.
No. Never.
I'm the one that breaks out. Okay, great. Okay. Yeah. See, my jokes are funny. They're very involved.
They're very involved. They're layered. They're layered and they build. They build and then they come in.
Like our grief.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Ugh. Okay, I'm glad we got this podcast out of the way because I'm exhausted.
Yeah. I love you, babe.
Love you. Thanks, y'all, for listening and participating. We always have a great time with you.
And if you enjoy the podcast, please go online and rate, review, share this with your friends. This is the way that we build this community.
Yeah.
All right.
Bye.